This is The Full Spectrum. The show provides a wide range of news and competing opinions. The commentaries, beliefs, and viewpoints expressed by segment hosts and guests do not necessarily represent those of WJSU-FM, Jackson State University, or its administrators. The content of this program is for informational and/or entertainment value only and not meant as an endorsement or recommendation in lieu of professional guidance on relevant topics.
It's the full spectrum. It's the full spectrum. We got news, entertainment, interviews, and so much more. It's the full spectrum.
On today's show, an in-depth discussion with Jackson City Councilman DeKeitha Stamps. Welcome to The Full Spectrum for Wednesday, August 15th. I'm your host, Dwayne Doty. Yes, he's in the house. Councilman DeKeitha Stamps, it feels like it's been a long time since you've been back.
It has, but it has been a journey since then. We're excited to be here. We look forward to a great show. Every time I come here, I'm overjoyed to just spend a little time with you.
And you know, I had to call you last week. I'm reading the Clarion Ledger, and I see you want to change the form of government we have here in the city. Tell folks about that and why you want to change it.
Well, let's just back up a second and put some context to this conversation. A little over 30 years ago, the citizens of Jackson chose to change to the form of government that we have, the mayor-council form of government. And, you know, I just have some questions. Everything we do over the years, we must go back and review. Well, has this form of government worked for us? Has it performed? And that's a serious question that no one really wants to dig into and have a serious answer, because we've had people issues over the years and we've had structural issues. But do we have a form of government issue? Is this form of government performing for us to the degree that it was sold to the people 30 years ago?
And what do you think is the shortcoming with the style of government we've had? Because I remember reading about some of this a while ago, and a lot of times it depends on the size of the city, you know, the number of citizens, which is thought to be most effective. But for us here in Jackson, what do you think? You want a strong city manager.
Right, a council manager form of government. One of our issues is we have a high turnover. Every time we have a different mayor, the entire institution turns over, from finance to public works to police to fire. And we're having a hard time building that consistency, that institutional knowledge base that transcends administrations. And this is no indictment on this mayor or the last mayor. This is more, what are the things needed for the next generation? And right now we need stability. And it seems as though every couple of years, you know, someone buds their head, they can do a better job, and we change mayors. And the city manager form of government, you'll have six council people and a mayor. The leadership will be unified. Over the years, it seems as though we've had a divided leadership. No matter who the mayor was or who the council people were, there's always been this friction.
But why, under this other form that you're talking about, what makes you think it would be more unified? What about that type of government lends itself to the type of unification you're talking about?
Well, under that type of government, you have six council people and a mayor, and the seven of them will vote on issues for the city. The mayor would be like the city council president right now, and then he would preside over the meetings, and that body of seven will be the governing authority for the city. So that body would speak in its through its minutes and through its actions, and so you wouldn't have a mayor and council on two different sides of the fence. You would have the council would be one unified group. And then the city manager, in turn, will be a professional. that is in the profession of running cities and maintaining government, and you'll be able to build that continuity that's necessary inside your departments. And then the mayor and council would be the governing authority. So they will be unified versus on two separate branches of government.
Say that people agreed with you, mm-hmm. that's the way the city should move. How does that happen? Is it the voters who decide?
That's right. It's a long process. It's nothing that the city council will vote for, and then it just happens. You have to get several thousands of petitions signed. It's a 3 to 5 year process. This is just a conversation at this point, just to ask the question of has this form of government worked for us? And that's really what I'm posing now, is just asking the question and to have some dialogue, say, okay, well has this form of government worked for us over the last 35 years or not? Let's just talk about it.
Did you look at any other examples mm-hmm. of the type of government you're talking about where it's working well?
Oh, almost half the cities in this country have moved to the council manager form of government just for the stability purposes, the unification of leadership, and the single focus and direction of their cities. I mean, cities as small as Grenada, Mississippi, all the way up to Austin, Texas, and Las Vegas. I mean, it ranges in the size of population that cities have that use this form of government.
Usually it's a smaller city, right?
Well, most cities across the country are below 100,000. But where we have such a high turnover. At this point, we just need stable, professional, and effective government going forward.
How do I ask this? Would changing the form of government have any impact, or would it be any different for that form of government without the revenue that we – if we still don't have more revenue, can it work better without that?
Well, when you take the politics out of the decisions of government, government becomes less expensive.
Okay, delve into that deeper to keep us. That's
when we elect a new administration, your police chief changes, your fire chief changes, your finance director changes, your department heads change over. Well, under a different form of government, no matter who you elect, if you still have the same city manager, things can continue on, and you can build continuity inside your departments, and your decisions can transcend administrations. It seems like every time we have a new administration, we in turn change over direction. Things from that were happening 2 years ago stop happening because of the focus and vision of a new leadership. So we could stabilize our government either two ways. Keep the same mayor for an extended period of time, or change the form of government. Either way it goes, we need to maintain a constant knowledge base and institutional knowledge. And professionals across the country don't necessarily want to lend their careers to a volatile electorate, not knowing if they'll still be employed. You see, right now we have a relationship-based government. I want a productivity-focused government. I want a government that's built off of, are you a productive employee or not? Not who you're connected with and who, you know, your relationships are with. So government tends to be a little more inexpensive if the relationships aren't tied together.
Speaking of productivity, mm-hmm. Give the city a grade right now. The mayor's been there a while. The honeymoon's over.
Yep.
So talk to me about how you think things are going right now.
I think we have a great mayor, and we have a team that's developing. And as the team develops around him and they gel and they work better together and they get more institutional knowledge, then hopefully, you know, we can move forward instead of having a changeover in 2 years. We could very well have a changeover if we change mayors. You see, that's
right,
the point.
Right.
Once the team starts to gel, starts to work well together, starts to build their anchors in the ground, then they have to stop and campaign for a year to get their mayor back elected.
Part of that, though, is because the longer that things have not been getting done, the more frustrated the electorate gets.
Correct.
So that the expectation when anyone comes in is they don't want to hear about the rebuilding the structure. They want to hear about the streets or tangible things that they can see being done. So as far as you're concerned, how do you deal with that? Because there's no one, I can't see bringing anyone in that's not going to have to deal with rebuilding some things.
Correct. And it's going to take time to do that. And I don't know if our electorate is going to give anyone the time
right
that it takes to build a city or rebuild a city. So we have to do some things a little differently. But I do know that the current, when I got here, we had Harvey Johnson, then we had Mayor Lumumba, Mayor Tillman, Mayor Yarber, and now Mayor Lumumba again. That's five mayors in the course of a handful of years.
Wow, you're right.
Now, I don't know, I'm surprised that we're still functioning. It's just due to the hard work and dedication of some great people to hold this thing together. But with that kind of turnover, you won't be able to produce effectively.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We're talking with City Councilman DeKeitha Stamps.
This is jazz and smooth soul vocalist Alex Lattimore. You're listening to Cool and Current, WJSU, 88.5 on your FM dial, WJSU.org, online.
On Super Saturday, September 8th, 6 p.m. at the Liberty Bowl Stadium in Memphis, when two titans of college football clash in the 29th Southern Heritage Classic, presented by FedEx, Jackson State, and Tennessee State. Tickets on sale at Ticketmaster. The Southern Heritage Classic. It's a celebration.
Welcome back to The Full Spectrum on Cool and Current, WJSU. I'm your host, Dwayne Doty, and we're talking with City Councilman DeKeitha Stamps. Let's talk about some of the stuff we're seeing in the paper. I read that we know that there were problems at the zoo. The director resigned, and now we read that the state is going to charge the zoo. I think I saw $350,000. It was a hefty sum because of the way they were mismanaging the money. Your reaction to that?
Well, first, we shouldn't allow for a personnel issue to derail us or make us lose focus of the priority. The priority is having a functional and effective zoo, which is a great amenity to the city. It's still one of the largest tourist attractions in the state. Even with the dwindling attendance, it's still one of the largest attractions in the state.
I think I saw 100,000 visitors. Right.
So next to the fair, the zoo is the number one tourist attraction behind the fair in the whole state.
Oh, that's interesting, because I guess you're saying, so even in its diminished
capacity, it's still a top amenity for the state of Mississippi. So we have to keep the conversation in context. We can't say that it's just all the way dead, because it's still one of the top tourist attractions in the state, even in its dwindling state. So we have to keep it in the proper context when we speak about it.
This is one of those issues where there does not seem to be consensus over at City Hall and with the City Council. Mm-hmm. What's the feeling? Or how many people are like you and want to see the zoo saved in its present form?
Well, I don't have an honest answer for that myself. But what I do know, whether you want to move the zoo or not, who's going to pay for it? Let's address the main issue questions first. You can say yes, I'm for moving the zoo, or you know, all that stuff, but who's going to pay for it? Who's going to pay for the for the new facility? Who's going to construct the new facility? Who's going to transfer? And then what do you do with a 70-acre vacant zoo? Those are some questions that you have to answer for me first before you come to me and say, do you support moving a zoo? It's, you know, who's going to pay for it? What do you do with an empty zoo? Those are some deeper questions that we have to ask. We can't just jump up and say, well, I'm for moving the zoo. Well, okay, are you for raising the taxes to produce $50 or $60 million to pay for it? You know, a lot of folks say they're for moving a zoo. Okay, well, you want to raise your taxes 10 or 15 mils in order to pay for the moving of a zoo? Or do we need to stabilize, fix the streets in the area, rebuild some houses around it, and then make it effective? It's been there for over 100 years. So let's have a real conversation versus an emotional conversation about the future direction of the zoo.
And in terms of economic development, what do I not know about that I'm not reading in the paper, but that you know is in the pipeline? Because that's one of the things we talked about, the electorate wanting to see things happen. Is there anything for them to look forward to in terms of development?
Oh, most definitely. But you know as I know. I don't speak about economic development projects before they start to come to fruition. You work on it, and then when the time comes and everything is prepared, then you speak about them. That's how you lose economic development.
Right. So, but there are things in the pipeline coming. And I also read, I might have read this in a press release, they are going to be doing repaving more roads.
Yes, we voted yesterday to move forward some interlocal agreements that's been hung up for a long time. They'll be repaving 59 streets in the city of Jackson.
And remind people how expensive that is, because it may not seem like a lot is being done, but it's very expensive, right, to repave or redo a stretch of road.
Well, most definitely. It's depending on if it's a curb and gutter or if it's an aerial that just has a ditch on both sides of the road, you know, generally $150,000 per lane mile. So, you know, it takes the resources to do it, but you just do the best you can every day with the resources that you have.
And another question I often hear is, how are you guys deciding which roads? Because, as you know, a lot of people in West Jackson and certain parts of the city feel like they are not a priority. So how are you guys stacking these projects up?
Well, the administration, along with the supervisors, chose these roads. And they looked at traffic patterns, need, usage, to make those decisions.
Which I really didn't know. I interviewed Transportation Commissioner Dick Hall yesterday, who was telling me that's the way they're supposed to be stacked. The most used roads are supposed to be at the top. So,
right.
But you're happy, if I'm hearing you correct, that things are moving. Mm-hmm. Maybe not as quickly as some people would like, but you're happy with the pace of things.
Well, I do believe we could be moving faster. You know, from my seat as a legislator, you're happy to see progress when progress is happening. The last thing from my seat that I need to be doing is railing against. I need to be helping to support and build up versus tear down the administration or the supervisors or any of that. We need to work together to provide better government for everyone.
And very quickly, school. Mm-hmm. Has just started. Anything you can tell us about how the newly constructed board is, a configured board is doing? And do you think that this school year will be a good school year considering all the transition that's going on?
How long do I have to answer that question?
Well, take your time, answer that. We'll push that break back a minute.
Well, we need to focus on the basics. We need a well-prepared student to meet a well-prepared teacher in that magical place called a classroom. That well-prepared student needs to have a full night's rest, some breakfast, and discipline. That teacher needs the proper preparation and pay to move forward. I know we have a lot to talk about when it comes to education. But we have to get the basics, the blocking and tackling of education prepared. We need students to come to school to learn. It's not a daycare center. You're there to learn. And parents on our side, as parents, we need to make sure we're sending children to school prepared to learn. Because one of the bigger problems we have in Jackson Public Schools is discipline. We have a serious discipline problem. And that's where the community and the parents need to wrap our hands around, and in some cases wrap our belt around some children, to make sure that we have well-disciplined children that come to school prepared to learn and not to negatively affect the learning process of their peers in school.
Well, I know the folks at the Department of Education, the mm-hmm. State Department of Education, that's one of their priorities this year, is boosting parental engagement. That's high on their list. So,
Parental engagement is good, but my father only had to come to school probably 3 or 4 times in 12 years. Now, my mother was a teacher, substitute teacher. She was always around, you know. But when I was growing up, I didn't want my parents to come to school. They didn't need to come to school because I was going to do what I was supposed to do, because if I didn't do what I was supposed to do, they would come to the school, and it would be a bad day for me. So I think we need to go back to some of our old school ways. To, you know, a lot of times when teachers in there teaching and say their children's acting up, we come back, want to blame the teacher, the principal, and everybody else. The parents and teachers need to look at that child and say, you're responsible for your education, and hold the child accountable for their activity once they get on that school bus and so forth. So I just think we need to refocus ourselves and commit to ensuring our children are prepared for the future, and not point the finger at other people, but make sure we're doing what we're supposed to be doing as parents. I got a 9-year-old, 12-year-old that's going through the pipeline right now, you know. So everybody needs to be accountable for their role, whether you're a parent, grandparent, or teacher, and so forth.
All right, we're going to take another break. We're talking to City Councilman DeKeitha Stamps, and maybe when we get back, he'll tell us about those 3 or 4 times his daddy had to come up to the school. We'll be right back.
I'm drummer Dan Brubeck. On WJSU, announcers don't just play music, they tell the story behind the music. This is 88.5, your cool and current jazz and blues classroom.
Cool and Current WJSU wants to hear from you. While we do our best to provide you with great quality jazz and blues programming, we realize that things can change. We want to change with you so that you don't change the station. We're all ears. Have a programming suggestion or request? Any likes or dislikes? Emails can be sent to wjsufm@jsums.edu. That's wjsufm@jsums.edu.
All hail the king. They say heavy is a head that wears a crown. Wears a crown. They say heavy is the head that wears a crown.
Welcome back to the Full Spectrum on Cool and Current WJSU. I'm your host, Dwayne Doty, and we're talking with Jackson City Councilman DeKeitha Stamps, who has just been named President-elect of the National Black Caucus of Local Elected Officials. Congratulations.
Thank
Heavy
you.
Is the crown.
Well, it's an honor and a privilege to be elected by your peers to be the face and voice of such a historic institution. The National Black Caucus of Local Elected Officials is older than the Congressional Black Caucus.
Wow.
Right. It was formed right after the Voting Rights Act, and the black folks started getting elected all over the country. They needed to have a way to work through issues, to talk about things, to develop a unified voice, to do professional development, because this is a space we hadn't entered in before in the late 60s, early 70s,
right,
of getting elected as aldermen, mayors, and all those kinds of things. So our founders saw fit that we needed to have a place where Black elected officials and others, we have members of all races, because folks have constituencies that they're trying to connect with and serve, and we address the unique challenges of Black elected officials.
And roughly how many members?
Right now we have about 360 members of mayors and council people around the country. I'm appreciative of my city council and administration. We set aside funding to host the summer conference next year in Jackson, Mississippi. So we'll have hundreds of Black mayors and council people from around the world. We have a global reach, so it's not just in America. And we'll be honored to host next summer's summer conference in Jackson.
What are you hearing when you talk to folks from the organization? Mm-hmm. We think we're unique, you know, oh, this is only happening here. It's horrible. A lot of the problems here are being experienced in cities all across the country, right?
Well, let me just ask you. I answer it jokingly this way. Are Black folks the same all over the country?
I'm not going to answer that. That was a rhetorical
question. The issues that we're facing are the same here in Jackson. The issues that are the same in, we have a young man, Richard Mombasa, who came in from South Africa addressing the same issues.
Really?
Right. Wow. So the same issues of poverty, education, healthcare, access to opportunities, infrastructure issues, water quality issues, working through those issues is the same. Now, there's some uniquenesses because of regions and political makeups. We enjoy something here in Mississippi that others don't enjoy. We have a higher concentration of Black elected officials because we have a higher concentration of Black people. You know, so some things are unique to Mississippi, but other things we can learn. And that's what Mississippi has to do more of. Go out and learn some of these solutions that other municipalities are putting forward and come back and implement.
That's what I was going to ask you, because if you look at it as being on a continuum, mm-hmm. I would think some of these municipalities are further along.
That's
they may
right.
have, and you can get learn some lessons, like you were
Most
saying.
Most definitely. You know, the first step is rebuild your economy so that you can be economically healthy, so you can be more self-determined as a city, as a community. So, you know, but there are solutions out there that we just need to employ.
Are you... and in terms of that, we kind of talked about projects coming along, mm-hmm. but I'm talking about big picture now, mm-hmm. and improving the economic health of the city, bringing better jobs, bringing more businesses into the city. Is there at least in your mind a strong strategic plan to make that happen?
Yes, and the basis of it, since we got 1 minute to go, is building the per capita income. Building the per capita income is how you get a higher quality and level of businesses. You want a Kroger's in your neighborhood, build your per capita income. You want a Chick-fil-A in your neighborhood, build your per capita
income. How do you do that?
Because, well, for Jackson, we just need to roll over our resources inside our own community so that the economics cannot leach out. It could maintain itself inside our community.
What have we been doing wrong, do you think? And not to dump on anyone in the mm-hmm. past, but are we learning what we need to do right, do you think?
Yes, we are. But if we continue to change over leadership, what we learn will be washed out over and over again. You look at any other stable city, they've had a long-term mayor, whether it be Mayor Jackson in Atlanta or Mary Hawkins in Madison. They had a sustained time period to work through it. We shouldn't vote for people because we like them or don't like them or vote against them because we don't. Work with folks and get them together, and are they doing a good job is the real question. And stop getting derailed on personnel issues or you know, we have to move beyond. We have to be more educated when it comes time to vote. Don't let our feelings and emotions get into the process. What's the best decision?
And you touch on that, and we don't have any time left, but voting, and we have a big midterm election, getting mm-hmm. people out to vote is a big task.
Issue. Yes. Big issue.
Yeah. Well, DeKeithar Stamps, it's always great having you on. And once again, congratulations on being elected the president of the National Black Caucus of Local Elected Officials. I'm proud of you, man.
I got one last comment. There are not too many advances in this nation that we've had that didn't come through a voting booth or a courtroom.
That's true.
Keep pushing the ball forward. I love y'all.
All right. That's our show for today. Don't forget to catch Metro Morning Live with Rob J tomorrow at 7 and again at 10 on JSU TV, Comcast Channel 14. You can catch their live stream on Facebook. Just type in Jackson State TV. One word, it's easy. We'll be back tomorrow at 4 with more of the Full Spectrum right here on FM 88.5. If you're not near your radio, you can listen to us on WJSU.org. And up next, Latin Jazz with host Dale Morris. Thank you.
Cool and Current, WJSU.